of it stuck in James's throat. "Beg me, then. Beg me on your knees to kill you. Do it." James hadn't thought Marcus would do it, but of course he did. He probably loved it. On his knees, in an act of martyring self-sacrifice. Marcus was a steward, had spent his life keeping vows and following rules, believing in words like noble and true and good. Marcus moved awkwardly, unable to balance without his hands, finding a new posture within the chains with humiliating difficulty, his head lowering, his knees spreading on the planking. "Please, James, please, for what's left of the stewards." James looked down at that bowed head, that battered, handsome visage that was still naive enough to hope that there was a way out for him. "I'm going to stand at Simon's side," said James, "while he ends the line of stewards. I'm not going to stop until there's no one left to stand in your hall, until the last of your light flickers and goes out. And when darkness comes, I'll be standing next to the one who will rule it all." James's voice was precise. "You think I felt something for you. You've forgotten who I am." Marcus looked up then, eyes flashing. It was the only warning James had. Marcus pulled, calling on all his strength so that his muscles strained and bulged, flesh pitted against iron. For a single terrifying moment, the iron groaned, shifting. Marcus made an agonized sound as his body gave out. A laugh of relief bubbled up in James's throat. Stewards were strong, but not strong enough. Marcus was panting, his eyes were furious. Underneath that, he was terrified. "You're not Simon's right hand," said Marcus. "You're his worm, his boot licker. How many of us have you killed? How many stewards will die because of you?"
"Everyone but you," said James.
Marcus's face turned ashen. And for a moment, James thought he was going to beg again. He would have enjoyed that. But Marcus just stared back at him in thick silence. It was enough for now. Marcus would beg again before this was over. James didn't need to provoke it. He only needed to wait. Marcus would beg, and no one would come to help him here on Simon's ship. Satisfied, James turned to walk out up the wooden stairs that would lead him to the deck. He had his foot on the first step when Marcus's voice rang out behind him.
"The boy's alive!"
James felt hotly resentful that it made him stop. He forced himself not to turn, not to look at Marcus, not to take up the bait. He spoke in a calm voice as he continued on his way up the steps to the ship's deck. "That's the trouble with you stewards. You always think there's hope." Chapter 1. 3 weeks later. Will's first glimpse of London came before the sun rose. The forest of masts on the river, jet black silhouettes, against a sky barely one shade lighter, joined by hoisting cranes, scaffolding, and every upright funnel and flue. The docks were waking up. On the left bank, the first warehouse doors were unlatched and thrown open. Men were gathered, shouting their names in the hope of being taken on for jobs. Others were already in the shallow boats, winding rope. A satin waistcoated mate called out a greeting to a foreman. Three children in rolled up trousers had begun groping in the mud for a copper nail or a small piece of coal, a rope end, a bone. A woman in heavy skirts sat beside a cask, calling out a day's wares. On a river barge making its slow way along the black water, Will pushed out from behind roped down barrels of